So this is footprint that is available in the RTEP, and it's joint work with Aline Chuperka and Luis Santiago. So in the first part of the talk, we'll be looking at the Kunsemi group of an algebra, its ideals and quotients. Turns out that the Kunsemi group has been proposed as an invariant that can be used for classification, and there are some examples, like for AI algebras, where it classifies non-simple sister algebras because it's an object that keeps track of the lattice of all the ideals, and even the Kunsemi group of the ideals can be seen in the Kunsemi group of the algebra, so somehow unifies all the information. So then we just decided to look in this general setting of an ideal algebra, its quotients, and what happens between the Kunsemi group of these things. And then what we see is that this exact sequence induces a short exact sequence in this order semigroups. Once exactness is understood in the category of order semigroups appropriately. So let me explain this notation. Okay. So I'm calling CUS the stabilized Kunsemi group. This is what, in terms of positive elements, is denoted sometimes like this. So this would be the same for the ideal. And here the ideal is sigma unital. In all our work, the ideal was sigma unital. I guess it's interesting sometimes to remove that. So, but then in what sense this is exact, I might not even go into that. I'll just say it's a corollary of the following formula. Now we prove holds for elements of the Kunsemi group. So I'm giving you just a preview because then I'll go over the definitions. So let's say these are elements of the Kunsemi group, and let's suppose that they're equal after one sends them to the quotient in the Kunsemi group of the quotient. After taking quotient by the ideal, then the following relation holds between them. So here I'm using the Hilbert modulus picture of the Kunsemi group, and these are constantly generated Hilbert modulus. These are their equivalence classes in this object, and this formula characterizes if and only if two things are equal after the quotient, then this formula holds. And then you just try to write down the appropriate definition of exactness for order semigroups. Turns out that this formula also proves that to you. So I'll just focus on this formula. And I'll try to define then what these things are and just give you some, elaborate, I'll expand more in what I just wrote. So let me start then with the Hilbert modulus picture of the Kunsemi group. What is that? Since it's an object that has been defined in terms of positive elements most of the time. But this was done by Coward and Ivanescu. So, anyway, for those of you that are familiar with the positive elements description, then this equation just looks like this.
about to procure?
I will actually go over that later, because that's an example I want to look at with using projections. So where I is a strictly positive element of the ideal. And what we are assuming is that the equivalence class of pi of a is equal to the class of b. Then these two things are equivalent. I is a strictly positive. Okay, so let me go back to this introduction. The model picture of the Kunsemi group. So the Hilbert models that we're looking at are countable generated. So then let H be a countably generated Hilbert module, and E another one, say. And then we want to say one is Kunz smaller than the other. We denote this like this. Kunz smaller. H is Kunz smaller. Then a couple of ways of looking at this. One would be the following. We say this if there is a sequence, an increasing sequence of submodules of H, increasing sequence, such that their union is dense in H, and each of them is isomorphic to some submodule of it. And but now these submodules EI, they don't have to form an increasing sequence anymore. You just put them there somehow. Then we say that H is smaller than E. So it's almost saying that H can be embedded inside E. But we just require that there is some increasing sequence that is dense. And then they're equivalent if one is smaller than the other end. So the other definition of H. H is equivalent to E if we have both things. The problem with this definition that I just gave you is that it's not even clear that it's transitive with of Kunz smaller. So it should be a preorder, but it's not so clear right now. But it turns out that it is, because there's another definition which is actually the one that you find. But I wanted to mention this one because I feel it's a bit more natural in a way. But anyway, there's another alternative definition. So let me do this here. Of H comes smaller than E, countable generated Hilbert modules. So for this one, we first have to say that we first need to introduce something before, another concept. We say that a submodule is compactly contained in H. We say it's compactly contained and denoted like this. If there is a compact operator in H, that is the identity restricted to F. Then this relation becomes like this. H is less than E if for every F compactly contained in H, there is F prime compactly contained in E, and F isomorphic to F prime. Then this is more clear that it's transitive. And so the relation between the two definitions is that one has to prove it, I guess, that they're the same. But the idea with these compactly contained submodules is that they form some sort of minimal class that you have to check that if there's a copy inside H, then there's also a copy inside E. Here we just require that there's some increasing sequence that you can put inside E. But actually, if there is such an increasing sequence, then these compactly contained modules will have to do it. They're like a minimal, sort of like a reminiscent of Pearson ideal thing in a way. So then the Kunz equivalent again if one is smaller than the other and the other is smaller than the one. So then So, and that's where the Kunsemi group, in terms of how the models, is going to be. That's the set. It's just Kunze equivalence classes of countably generated Hilbert models. It's just the equivalence classes of countably generated Hilbert models in any of this stuff.
Bill was concerned with the identity of both. It is not simply because of that.
No.
It's
equivalent to have it self-adjoined and positive.
I know self-adjoined is equivalent to positive.
Oh, yeah, it's the old one. So, but then this pre-order among countably generated modules becomes an order once you pass to the equivalence classes. So, this set is endowed with an order. H is less than E. H is more than E. We just actually symmetrized the pre-order, and then it became an order in the quotient. And also there's an addition operation, which is, you add two modules by taking the direct sum. Turns out that this is well defined. So that's the Kunze semigroup, or it's an ordered semigroup. And then Coward Elliott managed to prove that. This is closed under, again, directed suprema, and it's a functor, it's a continuous functor from the sister algebra to a certain category of ordered semigroups. This is the same as I was saying, but it's usually described in this terms. If you wanted to get the Kunze group in terms of without stabilization, without stabilizing, then you can actually see that here as a sub-semigroup of this one. I'll call it like this. It's just a sub-semigroup inside that one, where we only take the equivalence classes with a representative inside some power of A. And that would be this one. Okay. So that's like the introduction.
Maybe. There's a single rank one that's clear, because then you might talk to me.
This is definitely what you want. Yeah. So now let's take an ideal inside the algebra. Let's all the time assume it's sigma integral. Then every Hilbert module over A is also a Hilbert module over I. I meant it the other way. So you start with the Hilbert module over the ideal. It's also, it can be regarded as a Hilbert module over the algebra. It extends, the action extends, right? Something special about sister algebras. A module. And then, moreover, if two I modules are Kunze equivalent as I modules, then again they are Kunze equivalent as A modules. This just follows from the definition. So we have a map from the Kunze group of the ideal to the Kunze group of the algebra, and you just send H to H. But now it's regarded as an A module, just that. That's an embedding of Kunze group. And since this thing is actually a functor, CU, then in fact this is just the functor applied to the inclusion. of the ideal in the algebra. That's what it is. But then it turns out that in this case there's something, some extra math, some extra structure going on here, because if we now start with H and A module, so now let now H be an A module, then we can always multiply by the ideal. And then we get this I module. And in fact, the Kunz class of this thing only depends on the Kunz class of H. So we have now a map going in the other direction. But also you start here, and then you just send it to this one. So it turns out you don't have to take closure, actually. Yeah, so there are coins.
Factorizations.
Yeah. But if not, we could put it. But it just turns out, but actually, we can put the closure. It's never relevant. Never. We never actually use that there, except So we have some kind of refraction, because if you start with an I module, you embed it, and then you multiply by I, it's the same. You get the same thing. H I equals H, if and only if H is an I module to begin with. And then that's the notation I was using in the formula. I might not have used it there, but I will start writing this. Since this Coulomb's class only depends on the class of H, and I think of this as an element in the Kunzmann group of A. So it's all in the Kunzmann group of I is embedded, so I just consider everything inside A. But you project down to the image of the Kunzmann group of the ideal with this map. So that's part of that formula I was saying here. Now I want to come back and just rewrite it like this, because now we understand this part. Okay. Then now let's look at the quotient. So let pi be the quotient. Then CU is actually a functor. This is all in the paper of Elliot Coward and Ernest. And then one can compute that applied to the projection. It becomes this module. So each I is a submodule of H, so we can take a quotient. And then this is an A over I, filter module. The quotient of two modules is still an A module. So this you could think of it as an A module, but then the error product of the equivalence classes wouldn't go to A. But to see it as a Hilbert module, then you have to...
It is a Hilbert module.
Over A, with coefficients in A over I. It's a module in A, because the quotient of two modules, but then you don't know how to make an error product if you don't know how to put it. But it's an A over I Hilbert module. So that's how it looks. And then I'll just restate the formula before it isn't here. There. The I basic manual. And suppose that H is a count that will generate the Hilbert module. Goes without saying, because I'm putting the brackets, so I'm looking at these things as, but maybe I should say it anyway, they're count will generate. one way where I'm using already the I sigma my unit is to even define this map, H times I, because HI, the submodule HI, might not be countably generated if I is not sigma unit. For example, you could take a sister algebra, you add the unit, then you take the ideal, which is the original algebra, and if you project that, if you multiply the two of them, you get something that is not countably generated, even though the original thing was, right? All right. This will be this product. This is a submodule. This is an ideal, and then this is a countably generated module over itself. This is an ideal. We can multiply them. Sorry, yeah. Then it's not probably generated. One day, we can project. That's why we are assuming that. So what the theorem says then is, and then if you have equality, then you have equality. Let me give an example before anything else. So you can use this formula to compute some quantum groups. Like you can compute one-dimensional quantum group of one-dimensional space, and then of some two-dimensional spaces like contracting ones, and or with trivial projections. And some algebras, a bit of like this splitting algebras, I looked at them, but let me give you an example that is not any of those, which is the sphere. So let's just take some open set, like an open disk in the sphere. Let's take two projections there, rank one projections, that's it. Then the condition of the theorem, the two projections as elements of the Kunsemi group will be equal when you take quotient by U, because there they are going to be trivial rank one projections. So they will, their classes in the quotient will be equal in the quotient by U. So it means that we can write down this formula. In this case, something a bit more interesting happens, which is that the projections restricted to the U, to the open U, are also equal there. This projection to the ideal will also be elements that are equal in the quantum group. But we cannot cancel, right? So these two things are equal. But the problem is that we cannot actually cancel them. An interesting situation. In general, since the two projections, since equivalence for projections, at least in a commutative sister algebra or a self-defined algebra, will amount to more quantum equivalence. It's not. It's the same as more quantum equivalence. So in general, you couldn't cancel. This observation can be elaborated, and you actually compute the quantum group of the speed. So, I'll just say briefly, it looks like this. You'll have all the functions from the sphere to the natural numbers together with infinity. And these functions are lower smooth infinities. Then you take union with the monoid of projections. And then you have to do a little bit of identification here, because if you have to take the class of the unit and identify it with the function constant 1 and its multiples 2. So we just do that identification. And then if you add something, say here, with something here, this side wins. So, and well, this is a number, this order, and then, but that's basically how it looks, a bit of identification. So when I did this first, I was expecting that this thing would be more complicated. So I thought this was bad news, but I think it's good news in the sense that it says that the Kunsumi group doesn't go too far away from K-theory. So it's not like such a far-fetched object after all. Even though the truth is that in this space of functions, the whole topological space is encoded to include that all the doors are in the functions and the space is here. Let me go back to the formula one second. So we have two things that are equal in the quotient for a moment. Let me just go back to the question of exactness of the Kunsumi group. I'm not actually going to look at that, but just illustrate how at least from the Kunsumi group of the algebra and the ideal, you get the one of the quotient in a simple way. So suppose these two things are equal, then that formula says that then here, let's add on both sides the class of this module, this candidly generated Hilbert module. And then we use Kasparov's stabilization theorem here and here. This class will absorb these classes because you're taking direct sum and then. So we get this. So then as a corollary, what we see is that if you take the Kunsumi group of the algebra and you add the class of the biggest I module, probably that there is, then this is isomorphic to the Kunsumi group of the quotient. Since we're saying that two things are equal in the quotient, even only after adding it. And surjectivity is something that you check. So this is proving that this thing is injective. This is just the projection map, restricted to the sub-semi group, because I'm translating everything by this element. But there's no cancellation here in the semi group, so you add and you lose elements. Actually, what you get is this after adding. Okay, so a bit more work, and this becomes a statement about exactness of the function. But that's this. So let me go to the second part, which will have to do with this Kasparov stabilization theorem. So what we have proven is we have said that if these modules are Kunsequivalent, then so you can ask the same question replacing Kunsequivalence by isomorphism, right? So for the case of stable rank one algebras, it was proven by, again, Coward, Elliot, Ivanescu, that for a stable rank one sister algebra, Kunsequivalence is isomorphism. In general, it's much weaker because this relation is basically saying two things are equivalent. If I can put this one inside one, I can put the other one inside this one, which will not be the same as isomorphism. And actually, that's what we do in the proof. We don't bother about making things isomorphic. You just put one inside the other. So then you ask, what happens? Is this true? Is this true? Then we didn't prove this. So I think it's still a question, at least for those projections in the sphere, maybe those Hilbert modules behind those projections are, this computation is a classification of isomorphism classes of Hilbert modules along the lines of Elliot's talk. But in general, it's not really a classification. But then there's a weaker question that one can ask that I already mentioned, which is, we know this implies and is equivalent to So again, you can ask what happens if we put isomorphism here. And then that is the theorem. So let H and E be countable generated Euler modules. The idea is shaped by integral. And then suppose that we have an isomorphism. Then these two modules are isomorphic. Then there is and in fact this big phi is a list of C. Appropriately understood this. We multiply by I this module, we take quotient, somehow this part disappears in a standard and canonical way. So the quotient by the ideal will be this once this part disappears. And in that sense, this one induces is a list. So that Kasparov theorem of the title, because if we take that the ideal be the whole algebra, then these quotients will be zero. So any two things are isomorphic after taking quotients. So in that case, what we're saying is that H plus L2 of A is isomorphic to say zero plus L2 of A.
This is now module isomorphic.
We take I equal A. Oh yeah, you mean like, right now we're talking about the isomorphism.
It's no longer inside the code. So.
No, yeah, exactly. That's why we, yeah. But this is like this second part, which in a way has nothing to do with the first part. Except the motivation is to replace Kuntz equivalence by isomorphism. So the proof of this is just looking at the proof of Mingo and Phillips of the Kasparov stabilization theorem. And then you just adapt it. So one first lists this map to a map from H to E by this non-commutative Tips theorem, and then you fill in pieces, adding these solvents to make it of dense branch, and the adjoint has dense branch, and then by unitary decomposition you get your isomorphism. And then we also obtain an equivariant version. So a group is acting on the algebra, then these modules are GA modules, but only when the group is compact. Our proof only works for, so let me say, also a equivariant version. But the group is compact. Well, the original theorem has a version for locally compact groups, G-continuous maps. But in our case, this part of the proof where one takes unitary decomposition is where the problem is. It doesn't work for us.
So,
10 minutes? Okay. So, good. Yeah, so that's the theorem, then there's an equivalent version. So, then I guess we decided to explore a situation. We left behind the Kuntz-Semi group. I'm going to keep talking about this a little bit more. So, we took one situation and then tried to see what the theorem was saying in that case. So we said, well, let's suppose that we have a module that already is isomorphic to the ideal. So, to itself, sorry. So it already contains L2 of I as a direct sum. Since say in that case, if our modules have that property, then we're saying that H and E are already isomorphic if they're modules that absorb. And then let's say that I was stable, then I am stable, so that L2 of I would be just I. And then we said, let's make the module just the algebra. So then we were looking at this situation. We have an algebra such that A plus I is isomorphic to A as, so A, I ideal of A, sigma idle, like this. And then we assume this as A modules. And then we said, let's make I stable, right? Even though I think it follows from this. Well, answer falls back. And just say it anyway. So an algebra that contains an ideal as a direct sum in terms of modules, and then the ideal is stable. And then for example, what this theorem is telling us is that, or a consequence of that theorem would be that multipliers of the quotient of A over I can be lifted to multipliers of A. Okay, so. Then if you grow, you we can lift you to something in that way. I am A and sigma interval. Yes. Yeah. And then
unitaries, is that right?
Please say. Yes, yes, sorry. Unitaries. So we can lift unitaries. Yeah. And then one can also lift projections. At least you can lift the projection in the same Morey von Neumann class.
The different thing is the
combination.
Everything.
Everything will be from. Yeah. But this is stronger than lifting
them.
Yeah. Much
stronger.
Everything is
combination,
yeah. One can lift
projections,
let me just say that.
But anyway, it's not known
if the algebra is sigma unil.
I'm pretty sure the
if this non-commutative fits a theorem, it only assumes sigma idle.
I suppose
for the algebra. I think it's not even assuming for the ideal, but definitely for the algebra.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think you need to have
several
sequence
apart from
the unit for the ideal.
Anyway, yeah. Since we were assuming that the idea would be sigma idle, and also you have certain injectivities. Let me just just jump to a question I want to ask quickly, just because I might not have time to just talk too much about this. So the question is, some motivation is motivated by our computations. The question is the unitary group of the unitization of this is an algebra, I'm going to define now, contractible. Where in this situation, assuming one and two, where this is the kernel of this. So this would be a generalization of this Quipper-Mingo theorem, when the ideal is the algebra. But I think we identified here a situation where somehow a similar term will work, just like before we had with the Sparrow theorem. And for example, one can prove that K1 and K0, these are trivial, even after tensoring with any unital system algebra. So one can try to follow the same proof where you just prove that the unitaries are connected after tensoring with commutative sister algebras, and but things don't quite work right now anyway. So there's still a question. But the evidence is that K1, K star of this algebra. I don't even know if this is interesting anyway. It's zero. It's B. It's this. So I'll just stop here.
Are there any questions?